Okay, good evening, everybody. First of all, we're very happy to be here again. And we wish well to everybody, especially to the Balabait.
Amen.
Okay. We've got two parshiot this week, Tazria, Metzora. Both of them are talking about
coconut.
Leprosy.
Leprosy.
Wait, we'll come to it in a minute. But the whole thing is talking about leprosy. Why we have leprosy, we'll talk in a minute. But that's not what's written in the Parsha. On the surface, the Parsha is talking especially our Parsha and the next Parsha, leprosy. If you look at it, most of the psukim, that's what we're dealing with. So first of all, we have to understand what is it all about. Leprosy today, like the leprosy that we're talking here on the Bible, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. It's not the leprosy we think that you call today leprosy. It's a whole different issue. So if it doesn't exist today, the big question is, why do we have two parshiot talking about leprosy? In all those details, if you have here and there, and you come to the Kohen, and then you go back 7 days again, and then, what's this whole story about? What does the Torah tell us in those two parashiyot? Or, is there leprosy today, or isn't?
There is Lashon Hara, they're called
the leprosy. That we know. By the way, one of the things that they said that today I haven't got leprosy is from a very simple reason. If we said that Lashon Hara is the main reason for leprosy, and what do you do with a guy who's got leprosy? You send him out of the camp to be alone, isolated, alone, and think about what he did. Now, if we take today, everybody is talking Lashon Hara outside the camp.
You would have more people outside than inside. You won't be able to get a minion.
He is definitely not going to be isolated. He's definitely not going to sit alone. He's going to have a whole group of people with him. So, from this reason, they say, it's a very, very interesting thing. I've got a disease. Now, I've got on the skin here. Then it grows. And I've got it here and there and there. The Torah tells us, if it's covering the whole body, is it impure or is it pure?
Pure.
No, it's impure.
Pure.
Pure.
Pure. Yes. Yes. Here, let's see if you find it. 1 minute. Let's look and see if we can find it.
No, I want to tell.
In a minute, you'll understand what's the idea behind it.
UV.
Pasuk. In Perek Yud Gimel. Got it? Pasuk 12. The im paruach tifrach hatzarat ba'or v'kista hatzarat. So if the leprosy is going to start covering the body, v'kista hatzarat et kol or hanega, and the tzara is going to be all over, miroso ve'ad raglav, from top to bottom, לכל מראה עיני הכהן. Like the Kohen looks at him, he is all covered with leprosy. וראה הכהן, והנה כסתה, צרת כל בשרו, and the Kohen sees it. ותיהר עד הנגע. And he's got, you're pure. כולו הפך לבן, תהורו. If it's all white, he's clean. And this is something amazing. How can it be? It's no logic here. But the idea is very simple. The whole idea of the leprosy is for the guy who's got it to understand that he did something wrong. Now, if he doesn't understand that he did something wrong, there is no reason for him to have leprosy. It's not a punishment. People don't realize it. Leprosy is not a punishment. It is everything that God is doing us is in order to show us the way. It's education. In other words, if God brings us leprosy, he wants us to think, what did I do wrong? If the leprosy, by the way, is in on the head, which is also leprosy of the head, he thinks that I've got problems with my mind. Maybe I'm not in the right thoughts.
Right frame of mind.
Exactly. And if I've got it on my hand, maybe I did something wrong with my hand. Etc., etc., etc. In other words, the leprosy is to show us that something is wrong with us because we by ourselves don't see what's wrong with us. We need somebody else to tell us what's wrong with us. Or we need something to happen to us in order to understand that we did something wrong. Because normally we think we are 100%. Well, what did I do wrong? And that's why leprosy comes. Now, if it doesn't work, so we don't need leprosy. As I said, today, what is it going to help? If everybody is going to sit outside the camp. So, nothing is going to be fixed. But it's still very hard to understand. With all the explanation, and those are generally the explanation they explain. It's very hard to understand. Why? If this plague is catching the body, the whole body, is it clean? It's something not logical. No, because if he's clean, he's supposed to have nothing. But the thing is to have to understand this. One of the things is that when we talk about leprosy, that's one of the reasons that today it's not here. Because would we realize what it's all about? Would we act according? Leprosy is going to cover everything. Then it's pure. Pure means that it's going to happen. The next stage is, that's it. It has to come. You have to change. Because otherwise, there is an end for everything. Everything ends. Today, leprosy can be, if somebody's got a pain or anything else, he has to start and check himself, whatever it is. Leprosy is the idea that something is happening with me, something is wrong with me. And whatever happens around me and whatever happens to me is a symbol of something that I have to fix. If you see something in front of your eyes, you didn't just see it by accident. And there is always a reason for things you see. And if something happens to you, there is also a reason. What's the idea of leprosy? The main sign of leprosy is air. Air that comes from inside and grows outside. And instead of being black, it turns to be white. Now, what is the idea? The idea is that air grows from inside and you see it outside. A lot of times we have a problem inside, but we don't see it outside. What is God doing? He is taking the problem and showing everybody that you have a problem. That's the idea of leprosy. The idea is the connection between our inner side and the outside. In other words, sometimes we can look on the outside perfect, but inside everything is rotten. Now, if this is the case, how are you going to fix it? Problem. So sometimes we need somebody else to tell us what's wrong with us.
Someone else?
Yes.
We need to.
That's why in the leprosy you go to the Kohen.
Yeah.
He's telling you, if it's leprosy or maybe it's not leprosy. That is that's what a Kohen is supposed to do. He's supposed to look at you and tell you, is it leprosy or isn't it leprosy? Because sometimes we have a problem, but we don't know if it is a problem or it's not a problem. So what do? We go to the Rebbe and we ask him. Something is not going smoothly, something has changed, it's not like normal. What do? You have to check why. So, of course, there is always the way that me by myself, I will discover the problem and fix it. And then what happens? The leprosy goes away. But if I don't find it and I don't fix it, then I need to go to the whole procedure. A lot of times we do things and we feel that something is wrong with what we did. But we go on with life. And somebody comes to us and says, you know, what you did yesterday is not exactly right. Now the question is, what do you do with it? Because one of the things of leprosy is that there are stages. First of all, you see a problem. Then you go to the Kohen. The Kohen tells you, okay, let's see what's happening next week. You come back to the Kohen next week. Now, if it changed, either it changed for the good, so you are pure. No problem. Why does it change for the best? If you fix yourself, you do tshuva. If you didn't do tshuva, didn't realize or didn't find your problem, it's going to grow. And then you are going to be, you're going to have leprosy. Now, it's very interesting when we look to the procedure. One of the interesting thing is when you sit outside the camp, you're not allowed to wash, you're not allowed to cut your hair. In other words, you are getting very, very dirty. Don't wash yourself. You grow your hair. Now, normally, what would happen with a skin disease? Is it going to go better, get better, or worse?
Yes.
Now, this guy sits outside and starts thinking, what did I do wrong? And he realized, maybe I did something wrong, but he doesn't understand the connection between the leprosy and what he did wrong. And suddenly he sees that though he's sitting outside and he's dirty and a skin disease is supposed to grow, but when he thinks about tshuva, suddenly he sees the disease is getting less and less. So then he realized that this is not a normal skin disease. That is something, this is connect with what I did. So I have to fix it. Now when he fixes it, he comes back to the camp. And in a minute we'll talk about the sacrifice he brings. But before this, something very interesting happens. There's also a stage when he comes back to the camp. He doesn't go directly home. The Torah is telling us in Parashat Metzora, the next parasha, Pasuk eight, Ubeyom es vekibes hamitaeret bgadav. After he brings the sacrifice, the bird that we'll talk about those birds in a minute, vegilach et kol searo, verachatz b'mayim v'taer. He washes himself in water, and he is clean. Then he comes back to the camp. Achar yavo el hamachane. And now what's happening? Ve'yashav michutz le'olo shivat yamim. What's happening now?
He has to stay outside the camp.
So is he pure or isn't he pure? Why does he have to sit outside for 7 days now? He's pure.
Well, maybe
he's cured.
They're letting him think it over to make sure that this is what he really wants.
Meaning?
Self-examination.
Why? This guy was sitting outside. He understood what he did wrong.
Yeah.
That's why he's cured. So why do we need this stage? You said something. Now, let's understand what we're talking about.
Purify himself before he goes in.
What did he do? He talked badly on people. He separated people.
So now he's gone back to
the
people.
He damaged the society.
So he can't go back until he's...
So now he comes back. Now, if we will come back directly home, maybe, you know, people do things. So, oh, they repent. Okay, slachli, machali, I did wrong. And what's happening the next day? They do again the same thing. So the Torah tells, okay, first of all, you're cured. Okay, now we want to see how you behave when you sit outside. Outside means that everybody sees you and you see everybody. Let's see.
But he was sitting outside before, wasn't he?
No, outside the camp with nobody. Now he's sitting in front. Let's say he's sitting in the middle of Schwarz with everybody coming and going backwards and forwards. In the middle of the street, he sits. He's not allowed to go in his house. He sits outside. Because this is a stage that before you go home, we want you to really understand what you did wrong, and we want you connected to society in the right way.
How does he sustain himself if he's standing outside his house?
What do you mean?
Eat.
What kind of living quarters could he have? What does he do?
He eats, he drinks, he can do whatever he wants, but outside.
Yeah, outside.
Outside, not inside.
And you sleep where?
Outside. That's Ishev Michudetot written. Outside. That's what I'm saying, it's very strange. People don't look at it, they read it and don't realize that this guy, after he brings a sacrifice, he's sitting outside his house. Which is very strange.
Miriam did the same.
What
Moses' sister, Aaron's sister, Miriam.
When she was outside the camp.
Yeah, we're talking about outside the camp.
And then she didn't have the sister.
No, I'm talking about this is a different stage. Yeah. There is a stage when you sit outside the camp.
Right.
Now you're pure, you're clean. You come back to the camp, you bring a sacrifice, and then you're not allowed yet to go in your house. You still stay, you're in the camp, but outside your house. Which is a very interesting stage. It's just all to show us that leprosy is not just a disease. It's something, and also it's not a punishment. You have to understand, it's not a punishment.
Why not?
It's not a punishment. If you want to call it educational punishment.
But
it's not a punishment to punish you. It's a punishment to show you the right way.
But to sit in front of all the people is the worst busha, that because they know that I did something wrong.
Yes.
I did tshuva, but I am sitting there. It's embarrassing.
But it might stop them and somebody else.
Yeah, but that will give him an idea how wrong he was. Why is he ashamed? Because he did right?
Yes.
Because he did right or did wrong?
No, because everybody will know.
They know. He was outside. He wasn't at home. He was outside. Okay. He had leprosy. They sent him outside. He wasn't there. Everybody knows he's got a problem. Now, the Torah maybe also doesn't want him to close himself in the house. The Torah wants him to mingle with people because that's the idea, to connect. If he goes inside his house, he won't go out again. It's also something that can happen. Yeah.
And the other thing is, if he's standing outside, why would the people want to come up to him to mingle with him? They have trepidation. Maybe he still has something.
Yeah, he's pure.
Thanks, God.
He's pure. You're welcome.
Sorry, no,
he is pure. Because otherwise, if he was not pure, he wouldn't come back to the camp at all. That's exactly the point. The interesting point here is that we want to understand this strange stage. And for everything we have an explanation.
Gadi, I want to make a connection like men in Israel. If they are at home, in prison, not in prison, but prison at home.
Yes.
He cannot go out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he did something.
Yes.
He did something, but they, instead of being in a prison,
house arrest.
Yeah, yeah.
He arrested at home. Is like something like this, no?
Yeah, but here, yeah, it's you can here the it's a different issue because exactly the Torah doesn't tell him go inside and stay inside. On the contrary, the Torah tells him sit outside. We want you to see everybody and everybody to see you. Because you have to be a part of the society. When what you did before, you separated people. Now you have to start and learn how to connect with people in the right way.
Okay.
Because he sits there, people are asking, what are you doing here? Why are you sitting here? And then you start talking with him. So this is of course there are a lot of other reasons, but there is a stage that we don't see, we don't think about it, but there's something very strange. And now the other strange thing is the sacrifice that he brings, a part of bringing all those things that symbolize the sin he did. But one of the main things that he brings is two birds. And one of the birds is being sacrificed,
and the
other bird is being sent free. And this is also a very strange idea. Now, if you bring a sacrifice, you bring it to sacrifice it, not to send it free. Because if you're going to send it free, why do you bring it in the first place?
Like the goat, though.
Yeah.
It's like two goats.
We'll come in a minute to the two goats, but there in the two goats, both of them die. One is being sacrificed to God, the other one is being thrown to Azazel. Both of them die. Here, one of the birds is free. And there is another interesting question, if we're talking about this already. With the two goats on Yom Kippur, the Kohen, he doesn't choose whoever he wants to. He makes, a lottery?
A lottery.
He makes a lottery, and God decides this one is going to Azazel, and this one is going to be sacrificed in the temple. And here, the Kohen himself decides what bird is going to live and what bird is going to die. And the question is, how can this be? It has to be the opposite way, because here, both of them die. And here, one is being freed and one dies. So here, you're supposed to let God decide. Why is the Kohen deciding?
Yes, especially the fact that you're now giving him the gift of life.
I'm saying, so who's supposed to give?
Well, it's really not right.
That's what I'm saying.
That's my whole point.
Exactly. So, what's going on here? Very simple. The Torah wants to show us that to be alive doesn't mean to eat and drink and sleep. To be alive is to connect to God. In other words, when you're talking about those two goats that are dying, you're right, but one is going to hell and the other one goes to heaven if we want to pull it to ourselves. So here, you cannot decide who is going to hell and who is going to heaven. Or living and dying, that's not the main thing. The main thing is, where are you going? Are you going to hell or are you going to heaven? So here, this is not for man to decide. This is for God to decide. But here we're talking about a different issue. Here we're talking about a lesson that is being taught through the birds. And the birds, both of them, if they die or live, that's not the important issue. The important issue is, what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to live in order to get to the next world, to Gan Eden? Or Chas v'Shalom, you're going to live your life and go to hell, to Gehenom. And that's the reason that the Torah here lets the decision to be made by the Kohen. Just to tell us that the issue is not physical living or dying. The issue is spiritual living or dying. That's the issue for a Jew.
But the moment that he brings the two birds, he repents already
yes.
before, Then he need to make the sacrifice. He bring the two birds. Then he repent over it.
Yes.
If he repent,
but the question is, so why do you bring two birds and one you sacrifice and the other one you send free? That's the question. Because, and there is another thing, the Torah is telling us that he has to bring. Let's look at it. It's Metzora. Okay, let's see of the sacrifice. This is also a very interesting point. In Pasuk 4 in Metzora. Perek Yudale. Pasuk 4. Velakach lamitaher shtei tziporim chayot teorot. What is it written here?
The Kohen shall command after the person being purified
and what
should be taken.
Shtei tziporim chayot. What is chayot?
Life.
What, somebody is going to bring a dead bird?
No.
So where did you see anywhere in the Bible the Torah is telling us you should bring a calf, a living calf? What's it? It's obvious. You're not allowed to bring a dead calf. You're not allowed to bring a dead goat, and you're not allowed to bring a dead bird. So what is the meaning of shtei tziporim chayot?
Because one of them's got to fry, go free. The person who's
bringing
them is alive.
Yes.
So one represents him having, first of all, being impure and besorah, and then afterwards he's repenting.
So first of all, we understand that there is the idea of the Torah telling us chayot means something. That we have to understand first of all, because otherwise there is, it's obvious that when you bring a sacrifice, it has to be alive. Otherwise it's traitor. You're not bringing a dead animal for to sacrifice. So when the Torah tells it shtei tziporim chayot, the Torah wants to tell us something.
That the Kohen will decide.
And then look what's written when he sends the one of the birds, and also on the water. Look, v'tziva haKohen v'shachat et hatzipor ha'achat el kli cheres, and he slaughters one of the birds al ma'im. Again, what's written? What's ma'im? Chaim. Again, we see chaim. Again, life. Again, we see life. And then et hatzipor ha'chaya. And the living bird. The Torah tries to tell us a very simple thing. Water is Torah. Now this guy, the birds, they talk a lot. That's the idea. Why he brings them? Because he talked. He talked badly. Now think about this guy. He talked badly. Now, Baruch Hashem is pured.
Okay.
He's purified. He comes back. What do you think? Is he going to talk or is he going to keep his mouth shut? He got punished for talking. So he's going to keep his mouth shut. Now the Torah wants him to keep his mouth shut or not?
Yes.
Yeah?
No.
No.
What is your power? Power of speech.
Yeah.
In other words, should you talk? Why? I didn't say Lashon Hara. Are you supposed to talk? Are you supposed to shut up?
Listen, after going through all of this, I would keep my mouth shut.
Exactly. And that's why the Torah says you bring two birds. One you're going to slaughter. This is talking badly. But the other one, you sent free on Ma'im Chaim. You sent free in order to tell you, now you don't sit and don't talk. On the contrary, you talk, but you talk good things. You talk Torah. Because the power of the human being is, as is written in Sefer Bereshit, when it's written there, Vayifach ba'apo ruach chayim, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu put the spirit into the God, what is Ongolos there saying? Nafach ba'apo ruach memalela, the power of speech. That's our power, the power of speech. In other words, you're supposed to use your mouth. You're supposed to talk. But, exactly. That's why the Torah tells you bring two birds.
Mm-hmm.
One against talking badly. What do you do with it? Kill it. Slaughter it. The other one, you send free. This is talking good things, because you have to talk. In other words, we see that in each one of the details is a big lesson. And that is the lesson for us today. In other words, the Torah is not just talking about something that happened years ago and doesn't exist today. The Torah talks with us about living today. What's the meaning of leprosy today? For first of all, the thing of talking about Lashon Hara, opening your mouth or not opening your mouth. The Torah tells you, of course you open your mouth, but you have to know what to talk. And you have to understand that sometimes when something is wrong with you, not always you can realize it by yourself. Sometimes if something is wrong, you have to go to the doctor. In our case, if it's a spiritual problem, you go to the rabbi to ask him. And sometimes if you see something wrong with you, something is not going as normal, you have to check why. Because whatever happens to us is a lesson. And God doesn't punish. Or if you want to say he punishes, the punish is only educational punishment. Because what God wants from us? To go in the right way. To do good. And if we do wrong, he's going to teach us to do good. Like parent, like a father to his children. Because he's our father. Nega. You know what nega is? Nega atzara. That's how you call the leprosy. Nega. What is nega? Yes, but nega also in Hebrew is to touch. In other words, a nega is God touching us. So, be careful. You're going the wrong way. You know, Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal, everybody used to come to him, used to give him a smack, like on the face. And if he gave somebody a smack, it was like he loves him. But that's exactly what's happening with God. God is showing us his love. And if we today we haven't got the leprosy like it is, it's because we have a problem with our connection. But it doesn't mean that we cannot fix it. That's why we learn the parsha and we understand. For example, now we are in the middle of Sefirat HaOmer. What is the whole idea of Sefirat HaOmer? From one side, they tell us, "Usfartem lachem," for like you should count, like generally everybody. And from other side, the Torah is always telling, "Usfarta lecha," that you by yourself as an individual has to count. Have to count. Now, what does it mean?
You yourself building, have to improve yourself.
I'm building myself. What does it mean?
To grow up in spirituality, in benevolence.
But what's the idea about me being as an individual or a part of the congregation?
Part of the congregation.
So does it mean if I am a part of the congregation, do I lose my individuality?
No.
So what is the idea of Sefirat HaOmer?
To integrate.
We should all improve ourselves.
Society.
Each one of us has got different talents. Each one of us has different tools. In the Torah telling us, now you have to build yourself. You have to build your own personality. To use the tools that God gave you. Only you. The problem is, when you do this, you can build yourself and forget that you are a part
of
the klal, of the congregation. That's why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva die on Sefirat HaOmer. Why on Sefirat HaOmer? Sefirat HaOmer, by the way, is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. We're counting to receive the Torah. Those are not sad days. Those are happy days. Supposed to be happy days. And there are happy days. So why Dafka on Sefirat HaOmer the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died?
Because they didn't like each other.
In a level that we... If we'll, Bezrat Hashem, maybe next week we'll talk about a little more about Sefirat HaOmer. But the idea is, we have to understand, that the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva didn't respect each other at a very high level. But still, that was the problem. Now, what does it mean? Why doesn't it happen in Sefirat HaOmer? Because in Sefirat HaOmer, what is the basic of everything? The basic of everything is building myself, but together with everybody. I build myself in order to be a part of Am Yisrael, not me alone by myself. And the danger is that when I'm building myself and dealing with my own abilities and with my own talent, that I will grow up my ego and I will think that I am the center and I am the important, and unfortunately it happens. So especially now, when we're counting and building ourselves, we have to understand that while we do this and we're working on our own talents, you should understand that all you do is to use it as a part of the clan. That's why Isfartem Lachem.
Really?
That's why exactly. That's why the Torah is telling us, from one side you count by yourself, but the other side you count together. Because you must not forget, while you build yourself, that you are a part of a congregation. And whatever you do is to build yourself to be able to give to others. To be together, to be united. That's the basic of Sefirat HaOmer, and that's the basic of what Rabbi Akiva said. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. That's the whole Torah. You should love your fellow man like you love yourself. And that is why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, at their level, didn't get to the highest level that Rabbi Akiva demanded from them. And it happened dafka on Sefirat HaOmer, because on Sefirat HaOmer we have to be more careful.
So shocking, yes, that they all died together. Each time that I think about this,
it's also, they're telling us that not there are 12,000 couples, not 24,000 Talmidim, 12,000 couples. 12,000 Zugot. Not couples, couples that. Not couples, not men and one, not men and women. Couples, the two chavruta,
right.
The two learn together. Now, why is it said 12 couples and not 24,000 students?
To show.
Because that was the problem.
They could not even get together.
They couldn't get to the level of the Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha with their own chavruta.
But it's
incredible.
Yes.
It's incredible because this was his whole life, Rabbi Akiva. And he couldn't transfer it to his students.
He transferred it to his students. The problem is that we're talking about, you see, what was the problem? In order for us to understand, and with this we'll finish the shiur today. The problem was very simple. When you are at a very high level, the demands are even higher. And so what was it? Like, we were sitting together and learning, me and my friend had the chidush. He said, "Well, something brilliant," he said. And I was happy for him. But inside I thought, I would be more happy or happier if I would have done the chidush. So what's wrong with this? Nothing. For us. But for Talmidim, for Rabbi Akiva, you should be happy when your friend has said the chidush and happy the same as you did the chidush. That's a very, very high level. But that's Talmidim from Rabbi Akiva. So if you understand, now you have to understand what we're talking about. It's not simple people like us. And from them, the demand was different. And you have to understand that at the end of the day, I'm sure that they are there in a very good place. But the lesson is for us. It's the same way when we talk of Am Yisrael in the desert. Sinning all the time. What's going on here? And that from the other side, they tell us, Dor De'ah. This is the generation that's so God. And they tell us that if you want to know the level of the generation, you look at the level of the leader. So you tell me, who was the leader in the desert?
Moshe.
So what is the level of the people? So how can it be that they sin all the time? Very simple. You know how many people sinned? We talked about it once. Only a few. But because they were at that high level, and even if one, like for example, when they were told not to take the manna on Shabbos, and they went and took. Who took? Two people. Datan ve'Aviram. And what is the Torah telling us? Like everybody didn't listen to God. There was Achan in Jericho. He took something.
And the whole
people of Amisrael were blamed. Why? One guy took it. But that's when you are at that level. Exactly. So we have to understand when we talk about them, from one point of view, be aware that we're talking about holy people in a very high level. From the other side, we have to take it to our level to understand. So, okay, if I won't be happy enough for my friend that he's got a chidush, maybe that's not my problem because that's not my level. But definitely, to be happy for my friend when he has got something to be happy about, I should be happy with him. Everybody with his own level. That's what I'm saying. That's Sfirat HaOmer. Everybody builds himself at his own level, in his own abilities. That's why we cannot look at others. Oh, look at him. Oh, look at that. Oh, I do more than him. So what? You've got better tools. Or let's say, not better, different tools. And that's the idea of Sfirat HaOmer. And that's what the Torah is telling us. The Torah is telling us that we have to understand and realize that we come to this world in order to prepare ourselves for the next world. And the main thing is that when we want to do it in the right way, is the basic thing is Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. That's why here, this guy who separated the congregation, he talked Lashon Hara, and he caused people to separate, couples to separate, friends to separate, because he talked badly of them. That Lashon Hara. And we see it in the paper every day today. How some things that we say can damage families and peoples. And this guy, this is the worst thing you can do. That's why he goes outside the camp. And when he fixes himself, he has to go to a stage of getting together with the congregation. Then you can go on with life.
Okay.
Bezrat Hashem, we should learn. Okay.
We have Rosh Chodesh.
Bezrat Hashem.
Share.
Yeah.